Welcome to worship, everyone. I'm Melinda Stonebreaker. I am the Director of Discipleship Ministries at the church, and I want to welcome you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we gather this morning, some of you are aware, and it is my job to tell you that are not aware of some sad news that we have this morning. Pastor Jenny's husband, Dale, had a heart attack yesterday, and he died, 60 years old. And so we want to name that right up front. In the announcements after we pass peace, I will give her address so that you can send cards. So if you want to have a pen handy for that, I will give that to you. We'll also send it out by email later in the week. There's lots of you who have asked, how can we help? Please be in prayer for the leadership of the church and for Pastor Jenny and Andy and Stephanie, baby Emma Lynn, their first granddaughter, grandchild at all, and also for Ethan and for Callie, the Dale and Jenny's children. I do want to say a few things, remind us of a few things. Certainly, this is a time of sadness and of grief, and only those who have lost a spouse can imagine what this may feel like. But I know that all of us feel sadness for Jenny and for her children. And that is good. That is a good way to feel. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian and our scriptures is that we are not called to gloss over our sadness, to gloss over our grief. God is in the midst of our grief. We have whole books of the Bible. I'm thinking of the book of Lamentations in particular, that are laments of the people of God, where things that don't make sense happen, and we respond to God by saying, this doesn't make sense. In fact, the book of Lamentations, which is written by the prophet Jeremiah, we don't notice this in English, but in Hebrew, the original language that it was written in, it's basically an acrostic that goes through their entire alphabet that says a poem of sadness that starts like with us, a poem of sadness with A poem of sadness with B, with C, D, all the way through their Hebrew alphabet. It's a way of saying, I am utterly devastated, God. Jenny is utterly devastated, I'll tell you that. But in the middle of Lamentations in chapter 3, are my favorite verses. In the middle of the lament from A to Z, the prophet Jeremiah says, but this I call to mind, meaning this I remember, and therefore I have hope. Because of God's great love, I am not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. The hymn of the church that we get, Great is thy faithfulness, is from Lamentations 3. In the middle of utter devastation, the Lord is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. It goes on and says, his mercies are new every morning. In a moment, we'll have time for silence, for prayer. Pray that God's mercy will be new to Jenny this morning, new to Ethan and Andy and Stephanie and Callie. New to each of us. I got out our font this morning to remind us. Listen to the water. I'm not going to pour it on. I don't know if you can hear it. And we heard rain this morning too, if you got up early enough. This reminds us, these are the waters of our baptism. This reminds us we are part of the body of Christ. God is with us. We have been claimed since our childhood as children of God, not just of the world, but of God. The theology of the church says that when we die, our baptism is complete. that as children of God, we are complete and are going home to Christ. And so that's what Dale is experiencing today. That's the good news. The New Testament teaches us that even in the midst of our grief, it says, while you grieve, we don't grieve like other people as those who have no hope. Because of the waters of baptism, because we have been called, we don't grieve as other people. We have hope. And as the water trickles down my arm, I'm reminded that I want to be wet with the water of my baptism. We are called to be wet with the waters of baptism, and one of the ways that we can do that is to pray and to love our pastor. We're not for sure what that all looks like right now. We will let you know. We will be in communication. But every one of you here, you are called as a part of the body of Christ by the waters of baptism, by Jesus saying, "You are mine." You are called to be that to Jenny, to be her brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are my words of welcome. You're welcome here. We worship a God who is here in the midst of us when we don't get it. I have always said, well, not always, ever since I figured that I didn't know everything. So, you know, round about 25. I have said, you know what? I get it. I don't understand everything, and that's okay. That's why I worship God. If I got everything, I wouldn't need God. In times like this, when we don't get it, when we don't understand, when we're wounded, when we see the body of one taken way too soon, we say we're here to worship. In our brokenness, we are here to worship. We are here to love. We're here to receive love. So as we sing words today and we say prayers, for some of you it brings up things that are sad of your own backgrounds. Some of us are here and are firm and are ready to affirm strongly the words of the church, to say these are the words we hold dear. And others of us are here to be held by those words, to be held by each other. So however we've come today, we have come into the presence of the Almighty, the Prince of Peace. In our prayers this morning, we said, comfort, comfort my people. So we pray that our worship would be that today. At this time, I'm going to give you a moment of silence. We can be in prayer for Jenny and her family, and then we will welcome one another by passing the peace. So let's be in a time of prayer and silence. Lord, hear all of our prayers. Amen. At this time, if you would please stand and greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ, welcoming all to worship.
Brothers and sisters, as you find your seats, as I promised, I'll be giving you that address in just a moment. I have a few words of announcements. First of all, I would like to introduce Gail Wilcox, who is with us. She is one of the pastors at Lovely Lane United Methodist Church. She has served with Pastor Jenny. Jenny was the youth director there before she came here. And our district superintendent asked Gail to come and preach today, for which I am very thankful. So she will say more later in as she leads worship with us and when she does the sermon, but I did want to introduce her. Families of confirmation students, we are scheduled for confirmation next Sunday morning. However, at this time, that's on hold. We just don't know. So I am 99% sure that we won't do confirmation next week, but that's 1% that I could be wrong. Please be checking your email this week, and you can contact the church office later in the week to find out if you haven't received email, but we'll send out an email later this week. So let me give you Pastor Jenny's address. It's easy to remember. It's one number, 10, the number 10, and then it's Chad, the name Chad, C-H-A-D, Court. 10 Chad Court in Coralville. I don't have the zip code, so look it up. 52241. Somebody say that? Don't repeat me. please send cards. That address is for sending cards, not for dropping by unexpectedly. So please send cards to them. Reminder that there is fellowship afterwards in the gathering place. Everyone is invited to that. Also this week and next week, our janitor, Don Griffith, is on vacation. So we need help cleaning. And if you are willing and able to help cleaning at all this week, please see Bob Young. Bob, can you raise your hand? Let Bob know, and he's coordinating that. Okay, my brain process is a little bit slow right now. Yes, I said all of those things. Okay, at this time I'm going to turn it over to Gail and we will sing our first song.
Good morning. God is indeed present and powerful, and God loves our praise. In the midst of trauma, in the midst of sorrow, God draws near. And so we give thanks today. Would you rise as you're able, and let's join together in the hymn that Jenny picked. We're going to keep her order of worship. We're going to honor her because she had a plan for you this week. We're going to sing Lift High the Cross, which is very appropriate. We gather because of the cross of Christ. And the light of Christ comes in. Thank you for that good singing this morning. We need that. We need that. I invite you to remain standing and take that hymnal in front of you, and would you turn to the back, please? Our call to worship is a bit different from your traditional form today, but stay standing. Turn to the back, 780, Psalm, Psalter 780. There's a wonderful psalm. Melinda was telling you about the promises that we have in Scripture to give us hope. This is another piece of Scripture, page 780, way in the back. It's not a song, it's a psalter. It comes from the Psalms. Psalm 46, which is one of my favorites, reminds me that we are not alone in the midst of sadness, in the midst of trouble. God is with us. So how it works is this. Where you see the red R, we're going to say together the top response, number one. And then you'll go back down to the writing below, and I'll read the part that's not bold, and you read the part that's bold. And whenever we see that red R, we go back to response one, and we say that all together. Easy peasy, right? Or not so much. But God will work us through that. So let's begin with the response right at the top. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city which shall not be moved. God will help it at the dawn of the day. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Response one. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth.
Who makes war cease at the end of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire.
Be still. And know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Thank you. You may be seated. And hold on to that truth that God is with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. At this time, would the children come forward from a child's point of view? And the ushers will be bringing the copper kettles. And this offering goes all to missions. So if you would like to contribute to this offering, please know that it goes all to different missions. Well, good morning, children. I'm sorry, I forgot to get Gertie. Sorry. Hey, Zoe, will you go get Gertie from Pastor Jenny's office, please? It's okay. Come on down. Well, what I was going to talk to you guys about, come on down, you guys. What I was going to talk to you about today, of course, I have to change what I was going to talk to you about because something happened yesterday that made me change what I was going to talk about, and that was that Pastor Jenny's husband died. You may have heard me talk about that earlier today. I was at the hospital yesterday and got to give a lot of hugs to Pastor Jenny, and I know that sometimes it is hard for us to know what to do when we see someone that's sad. But what's something that you guys do when you see somebody that's sad?
What's something you do?
Yeah, you ask what's wrong. That's a really good thing to do when you see someone that's sad. What's something else that you do when you see somebody that's sad?
What do you do when you see somebody?
What's it look like when somebody's sad? Sometimes they're crying, yeah. What do you do when you see someone crying? You ask what's wrong. Do you ever give them a hug? Yeah, you give hugs. Yeah, that's good. Do you ever make them a picture? Yeah. You ever? Sometimes when people are sad, we give them cards or we draw pictures for them. It's okay to not know what to do when somebody's sad. You have to learn what to do when you see somebody sad. So we're going to practice what we do when somebody's sad. I made some things, and I want to read this to you. You'll all get one. I'll let you pick one in a little bit. But this says, Pastor Jenny, Ethan, Callie, Andy, Stephanie, and baby Emma Lynn, we are praying for you. We love you. So does Jesus. And I left some space down at the bottom for you guys to make some pictures for Pastor Jenny and her family. And after church, I'll pick them up from you. We'll be in the back, and ushers can help pick them up too after worship. And we'll take those over to Pastor Jenny so that she knows that we love her. Sometimes it's easy to forget what people say to you when you're sad. But if you have something that you can touch and you can hold that reminds you, it's a good thing to have. So that's why we're going to make pictures, so that she can look at them later. Do you guys see my necklace? I bought this necklace 2 months ago. Thank you. Hi, Gertie. Oh, look, she came to be with us. Gertie is sad today, too, because she misses Dale also. I was telling you, I got this necklace 2 months ago when something very sad happened to me when my father-in-law died. And I bought this necklace to remind me of him. And so it's something that's not just his words, because I can sometimes forget words, but I have this that I can touch and I can hold, and it can remind me of my father-in-law. So are you guys okay with that, to make a picture during church today, and then we'll pick them up afterwards, and someone will take them to Jenny. You guys okay with that? Okay. I also want to tell you one little thing. Did you know that when Jesus was sad, you know what Jesus did? He prayed. You know what else he did? You guys want to memorize a Bible verse? Yes, you do. You do. Wrong answer. It's only two words. Can you guys say two words? Here, two words. Well, okay, we could say only one word because the other word's Jesus, and that's the obvious word, right? So this verse says what Jesus did when he was sad. His friend died. His friend's name was Lazarus, and this is a story in the Bible. And Lazarus died, Jesus' friend. And the shortest verse in the Bible that we can memorize right now says, Jesus wept. Wept means cried. Can you guys say, Jesus wept? Jesus wept. Say it one more time. Jesus wept. See, you guys memorized a Bible verse. So when you are sad, it is okay to cry. Jesus cried. And that's a way that we express how we feel when we're sad. Let's pray, okay? I'm going to say the words you guys repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for Pastor Jenny. Help us to show her love. Thank you for loving us. And for Jesus, who taught us it's okay to cry. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Could I, does anyone know where Pastor Jenny's husband, Dale, usually sat in the church? Where did he sit, Leah? Can you take Gertie over there and let her sit there today? Thank you. You guys can go back to your seats. Oh, wait, don't go back. My bad. Get your papers and get your colors and your markers. You're just going to have to grab a handful.
As the kids are on their mission of mercy and love, let's prepare our hearts to continue in worship by singing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, and you can remain seated.
Beneath the cross of Jesus,
Please join me in the prayer of worship. Let us pray. Transforming God, we praise you for your mighty works that came through your Son, Jesus. His death on the cross opened the door to salvation for all who believe. Open our hearts, O God, to the message that comes today through word, song, prayer, and fellowship. Above all, Lord, help me put aside my selfish desires so that I may take up my cross and follow you with a willing and open heart. Amen. It's now that the time that we share our joys and concerns. If you have a joy or concern to lift up this morning, would you please raise your hand so that we can bring a mic to you? I do want to share that Twyla Hines' mom, Arlene, is now in hospice care with fluid on her lungs. Her heart's just not strong enough to clear that, so we will be in prayer for Twyla and her family. And Twyla's brother is here with us worshiping this morning, and so we welcome you and pray that you would experience the peace of Christ this morning. Are there other joys and concerns to share? Okay, we will have
I just would like everyone to keep my mother-in-law in prayer. She's having a double mastectomy on the 21st of this month for breast cancer.
And there are always prayers listed in your bulletin as well. Okay, at this time we'll have a time of silent prayer, and then Gail will lead into reciting the Lord's Prayer together. So let's be in prayer.
God, you know us right well. You are the one who formed us in our mother's wombs. You know exactly what's going on in our heart and our spirit right now in this moment. You know that we are grieving, that we are confused, that we're sad. We may even be a little angry that Pastor Jenny's husband, Dale, died so unexpectedly. But we know we're not alone, that you are with us right here, and you're with Jenny, and you're with Dale. And that, oh God, is an amazing mystery. We pray that your amazing, loving, healing presence would be with each one here this morning. We thank you for those who have spoken, who have raised their voices, who have asked for prayer. We pray your spirit be upon Eileen and her family as they watch and wait and keep holy vigil. We pray for this dear mother-in-law, who's also a mother, who's anticipating a double mastectomy, no small surgery. We are mindful, O God, that you have heard us even when we have not spoken aloud. You know our hearts and our thoughts and our minds. So we lay all these concerns, these burdens, these sorrows, these fears, and yes, God, even our joys, the joy of being together this morning. We lay all these at your feet. And we remember that you too wept, that you suffered, and that sometimes you were happier than we could imagine. We thank you that you are our God, that you came in flesh in Jesus Christ. You lived for us, and you died for us, and you rose again. And now we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
With that, please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. The scripture is different from what appears on the screen. It's going to be from John, Jesus, the Resurrection, and the Life, 17 through 27. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Isn't that just like a guest preacher to mess up your worship service for you?
It happens. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I love those words. I love them. I hang on to those words. I hold on to them in my heart. I'm counting on those words of Jesus. I do believe that those words are true, and I love it that those are the words that we speak whenever we have a funeral or a celebration of life in the United Methodist Church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am life, and I love it. I love it that we proclaim that truth, that hope. Today, those words are very precious to each one of us as we try to wrap our hearts and our minds around death, a death that is quite personal, the death of a man of God, the death of a pastor's husband, your pastor's husband, a man who loved his wife, a man who I understand spoke here a time or two right in this very space, a man who was a dedicated dad, a man who loved the outdoors and breathing in life, whether it was from the bleachers at an Iowa game or the back of a bicycle. It's hard to believe that yesterday afternoon Dale Seiler was riding his bike, breathing in the glory of God and life, and felt something amiss in his body, and evidently got off of his bike and laid down, and in an instant left this world and went on to that next world. And it's hard to believe sometimes that death is not the end, isn't it? Now, we all know the story that Alice Ann read from, the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Mary and Martha were his good friends. We know that story. And we know that death is not the end and that there is more. We know that in our head. We know that there is a resurrection, but somehow death rattles our spirits every time it happens, even though we know up here. It shocks us. It numbs us. It takes our breath away. And sometimes it even makes us a little mad when death rocks our world. And so that's why you came today. In fact, that's why we come to this holy space every Sunday. The sacred worship space, our church home, your church home. You come to be with the folks who love you and understand you. You come to be with folks who share the journey. You come to meet folks who will be on that journey with you. You come to hang out with people who themselves have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we come to remember, to get together, to remember and to remind and to re-spirit ourselves that God's promise is true, that God can be trusted, that death is not the end, and that God has got our backs. Monday through Sunday, and then all over again, God has got our backs. We come to remember that Christ lived. Oh my goodness, Christ lived full. And we come to remember that he died on the cross. You've been singing about it this morning. We come to remember that Christ suffered even for us and that he rose again so that we might never have to worry or be afraid of death ever again. And so today, we are confident in God's presence with us here and now, and we're confident that God will be with us there and later, whenever later comes for each one of us. When Melinda called me yesterday, the bad news took my breath away. I could not speak. Pastor Jenny is a colleague. She was our director of youth ministry at Lovely Lane United Methodist Church, where I serve as one of the pastors in Cedar Rapids. We work side by side. She's my colleague, and she is my friend, and she is my sister in Christ. And when I heard about Dale, and I know Dale, he and Jenny share some of the love that Pastor Paul, my husband's a pastor, we love. We're bikers, we're kayakers, we're hikers. We speak the same speak. And when Melinda called, my heart broke. And then, not very long after that, Pastor Paul and I went to see Jenny. And it took my breath away all over again. We arrived at their home. It was dark by then. The new lights that Dale had just hung outside the new patio that he had just built where they'd been hanging out, they were lit, and Jenny was there, and some family was there. And when I saw her, Paul and I grabbed hands, and neither one of us could speak, and I could just feel my husband's chest getting tight, just as mine was getting tight. There were no good words, so I said something very pastorally. This stinks. And then I didn't say anything else, because there were no good words. And luckily, no words are really necessary in those moments. We just held on to each other. And then we held on to each other again. And then we kept holding on to each other for a long time. And neither one of us had to speak out loud, because we spoke a word inside of us, both of us. And I know that that word that we spoke in our hearts and not on our lips, that word was resurrection. Resurrection. You see, Jenny and I have both preached it. We've studied it. We've taught it. We've wrestled with it. And in the end, we believe it. And because of what we've done, of course, you've heard preaching on it. Maybe more than you liked. And you've studied it a little bit. And you've been taught about the resurrection. And you too have wrestled with it. And you too are grabbing onto it. And trusting in the resurrection, which is the good news in the midst of the bad news. Trusting in life eternal, trusting that death doesn't have the last word, all of that doesn't mean that we don't grieve and weep and say, this stinks. We do sorrow. I am sad. I am confused. I'm a bit afraid for Jenny. All those things go through my heart and my mind, and it does that every time someone I love passes away before my very eyes. No matter what the age or the circumstances of a person's death, it is always a hard, hard event. But Melinda and I were on the same page, I discovered this morning when we were praying together. She was hanging on to that word from 1 Thessalonians 4:13, just like I was, that reminds us that we do grieve, but we don't grieve as if we don't have hope, because we have hope, right? We have hope. We have hope. Even if it's only the size of a mustard seed or a grain of salt or a grain of sand, we've got hope. Say it. We've got hope. Say it again like you mean it. We've got hope. We do. Because we're people of faith, and Jesus Christ walks with us, and God is right here, and we have the promise of Scripture, and we have each other. The author of Thessalonians tells us to proclaim our hope. He writes this, and I'm paraphrasing, so encourage each other, will ya? So encourage each other, will ya? That's your assignment, church. That's your assignment every day of the week, and especially now. That's our assignment, church, to use even the little bits of hope that we've got to make a big difference in the life of this church going forward. This could be a turning point. in the life of Jenny and Faith. Thank you. Any more? Love? Joy? Patience? Well, not so much. Not so much on the patience part. Galatians 5:22, fruits of the Spirit. Maybe not there. But we've gathered today to celebrate our hope and our faith. And we've gathered here to encourage each other. We came to encourage each other because that's what we do. When people go through illness or death, or they celebrate a really great birthday, we come to be together to remember. That means to get back together again. To remember. You guys are members. To remember. And to remind ourselves. They may have even brought a card. They came and they brought their tears. They cried with Mary and Martha. The ultimate compliment is to share someone's sorrow. And I bet they shared some sad memories, and I bet they even laughed a bit when they shared good memories. It's okay to laugh when you're in grief. It's God's gift of taking a breath and going at it again. Sometimes, though, it feels like a long time until Jesus shows up. When we're hurting, it feels like a long time. But God did show up. Jesus came to Mary and Martha. And God comes to you and me, and God is coming to Jenny, along with you and you and you and me. God is coming. God is coming in our presence as we pray, as we do those pictures, kids, as you send a card. And eventually, of course, there'll be casseroles, holy casseroles. Yep. God comes when we show up. That's when God shows up. Jesus came to encourage Mary and Martha. One of the first things Jesus did is he wept, right? He wept. I don't suppose he said this stinks, but I bet he thought it because Lazarus was his really good friend. But he wept. The ultimate compliment. Because God has amazing and transforming powers, Jesus then did something marvelous. He raised Lazarus right out of his grave clothes. You remember that? Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and they said, "Oh, Jesus, you can't do anything." And Jesus said, "Watch me. Watch me." And he called Lazarus forth, and you know the story, and he raised him right up out of those grave clothes. Jesus came to remind them, the people that day, that if they had ever wondered, if they had ever doubted whether or not God was really in the business of resurrection, that they didn't have to wonder any longer, because there it was. Jesus had said, "I am the resurrection. I am life." So I'm hearing three things that I want us to hang on to today. First, God works through us, even during sorrow. I mean, we know that God works through us to build the church, to do mission, all those things. But God works through us, even in the midst of sorrow. We also learn that Jesus weeps with us. It's okay to weep. In fact, we need to weep. And we remember that God loves us. Jesus asked the sisters, Mary and Martha, a question. And today he asks us the very same question as we're gathered here. Do you? How about you? Do I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the resurrection? Do we believe the words of the psalmist that we spoke earlier from Psalm 46 at that crazy Psalter reading we did? Do we believe that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, even when the trouble is death? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that the Lord of hosts is with us? We said that. You know, sometimes we have to speak things to help us believe it. Wesley was told if he didn't have faith, preach it until he got it. So we do the same thing. We need to speak it until we've got it. The question is, do we believe that the God of Jacob and Mary and Martha is our refuge and is Jenny's refuge too? To believe means to accept, to hold on to be sure of. Do we believe? I mean, what if we have faith, but it falters for a moment? Well, God knows that's going to happen. He knows there's going to be moments when all we can do is hang on to the resurrection for dear life. God knows there will be moments when all we can do is comfort others with the comfort we received one time when a loved one died and people came and helped us. It's a command from the scripture, comfort others with the comfort you've received. God knows that there will be moments when all we can do is weep with and for Pastor Jenny, or give her a hug, or pray for her. If we're honest, you and I have to admit that sometimes we have wondered if this life after death thing is really true. If we're honest, we have to admit that. So I was thinking about this last night at about midnight when I was thinking about what I might share with you, and I happened to be over at my office, and on the worship table in front of my office, I have this rock. I have this rock. Looks kind of boring, gray, nothing special. Hard, can't crack it. I was thinking about this rock that reminds me of the rock of the tomb, the rock that closed off Lazarus's tomb that day. I was thinking about this, that sometimes that's how my faith is. It's hard. And it's blah. And I can't do much with it until I crack it open and, oh my goodness, it's a geode. There is dazzling light in there. There is beauty that I never, ever guessed by looking at the outside. There it is. And I picked that up off my worship table and I said, oh my gosh, that's the resurrection. That's that dazzling beauty that we don't see during the time we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and it is dark and it is rocky. And then God breaks open our spirits and oh my goodness, we see light. We are bedazzled by God's power. We are convicted and convinced of God's love. Jesus still cracks open geodes. Yep, Jesus still does that. And so I want to remind us today that when we worry that our faith is too small or our belief is too shaky, or our spirit is as hard as a rock, that's when the words of Scripture will come to us and remind us those stories, those verses about Jesus raising Lazarus, about being comforted, about new every morning is God's faithfulness to us. That's the time that we're going to look out in our garden and we're going to see that sprout finally sprouting up. That's the time we're going to look at that geode and see that dazzling. That's the time that the whispering voice of the Spirit is going to speak to us and say, I am the resurrection and I am life. And that's when we're going to believe all over again. That's the good news of Jesus Christ today and every day of our lives. And all the people of God said, Amen. Now is the sacred time when we present our tithes and our offerings. We respond in generosity to God who is so generous and loving with us. And choir, you're going to sing My Life is in You. Love that song. Thank you. Come and wait on us. God. I wanted to honor Jenny. Amen. Yes.
Earlier, a logistical thing. The district superintendent did come and meet with the leadership of the church this morning, and we are coordinating all of our care for Jenny through the leadership council. So you could contact a member of leadership council if you would like to provide something for their family. Or you can speak to Barb Rickert directly, who is organizing that. Our song that of sending, our time of singing our commitment, is number 298, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which we will sing after we pray. Sorry. Jenny said there'd be lots of grace today, so I'm just hanging on to that. So would you please all stand as we pray our prayer of dedication and commitment? Let us pray. Wondrous God, you graciously welcome all who desire to know you. We are grateful that you have taught us your commandments so that we may live as people who belong to you. Guide us by your Spirit, so that our attitudes toward others and our daily actions will honor our relationship with you. Let the ministries of this church reach out to show and tell our neighbors of your never-ending love. Receive and bless these offerings, that they will be used to glorify your kingdom. Amen. And now let's sing hymn number 298. We are doing verses 1, 2, and 4.
I invite you to join hands. Reach across the aisle. Reach across up there. Let's join hands. If you can't reach, then at least wave. Let's be bound together. That hymn says, bind us together. And that's what we need right now, is to be bound together by the love of Christ. And would you repeat after me? Jesus, keep us.
Jesus,
go with us.
Jesus, bring us together again. Jesus, bring us together again.
Amen. Go in the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of